Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning, it's 4 minutes after the hour, and it is February 9th. You know, born on this day in 1773 was the ninth president of the United States, William Henry Harrison. When Harrison came to Washington, he wanted to show that he was not only better educated and more thoughtful than the backwoods caricature portrayed in his campaign. He took the oath of office on a cold and wet day. He didn't wear a coat or a hat. He rode on horseback to the ceremony rather than in the closed carriage that had been offered to him, and he delivered the longest inaugural address on record. It was 8,445 words. It took him almost 2 hours to read, and of course, he died from pneumonia 30 days later. I know that every mom out there is thinking, what, no coat on? And then, of course, his grandson, William Henry Harrison, he was the 23rd president. He took no chances. He wore long underwear to the inauguration. And I think his short speech was, I'm here for 4 years, enjoy the meatballs. And I think he was seen racing back into the White House. So a little bit of history for you today. We've got a great interview coming up with actor Stephen Baldwin and Mike Lindell. They're in town promoting a new film. It is called Thief on the Cross. It's going to be tonight at Living Word Christian Center. It's free and open to the public, and there's going to be a meet and greet at the event as well. So we're very excited to talk to both of them. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and get them on the program. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Right now, on the studio line, we have a very famous person, a successful pillow entrepreneur, and actor Stephen Baldwin. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Bill.
Good. Hey, good to hear you both. Mike, nice to have you back on the program. Always great to hear your voice. And Stephen, welcome to the Twin Cities. Hope you're not too chilly.
When the plane landed last night, Bill, it was 12 degrees. It was fabulous to be here in Minneapolis.
I love your fake sincerity. That's great. All right. I want to start, Stephen. Let me ask you a question. You kind of live in the Hollywood swamp, I believe, and you wear your Christianity on your sleeve. How do you do it?
Well, I trust in the Lord, brother. You know, there's some
Amen.
Things, you know, that are within my control and some things that are not. So, seems to me like the Lord's moving in Hollywood now in different ways. Some of that may seem a little judgmental. And the one thing I like to tell people is, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've been born again the last 15 years. And everybody that's been praying for Hollywood, I tell them, you know, behind the scenes, there's really a lot of good stuff happening, and the Lord is moving.
Mm-hmm. And what a friend you have in Mike. Mike Lindell, also on the program this morning, inventor of MyPillow, and he is producing your film, Thief on the Cross, which you're going to be showing tonight. So let's talk about that.
Sure.
So the event is at Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn Park.
Yeah.
And I believe it's open to the public, and it's a free event, so you can go there for not only the showing of the film, but a nice meet and greet with the two celebrities on my phone line this morning. Talk about The Thief on the Cross, Stephen. Let's hear a little bit about the movie.
Well, at a very, how do I say this? At a church outside of Chicago called the Orchard Church, there's a terrific pastor named Colin Smith. Irish guy, Scottish Irish guy, and he wrote a book called Heaven, How I Got Here. Let me say that again. Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. So Pastor Smith wrote this original idea where it's basically a narrative of once the thief on the cross has gone to heaven, it's about reflecting on what happened that day. So they wrote the book, and I got a phone call to do the audio book, which I did. And then we had this idea to do a staged play. When we did the staged play, which was 3 Easters ago, they did it as a one-man show, a one-hour, one-man show, where we translated the book into a staged play. And then I figured, you know, there's so many amazing Christian things happening, Christian productions happening at small regional churches and things like that. So I kind of pitched the idea, well, why don't we film the staged play? Because now you can do it as a digital download. Now it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do stuff like that all the time, the stage play. They did Death of a Salesman as a stage play. And it just gives people an opportunity that can't be there for the show to maybe, you know, catch it digitally later on. And so the film version of it, which is it's not Heaven and How I Got Here. It's An Evening with the Thief on the Cross is the name of the film version, which Mike and I partnered on, and Mike funded the filming and produced with us the filming of My Night with the Thief on the Cross. And I'll be honest with you, brother, it was quite an undertaking. I hadn't, you know, performed as an actor on stage in 25, 30 years, but I really thought it was such a unique opportunity. Because the other thing, when they called me to do the audiobook, I'll tell you how silly I am, Pat. You know, I'm an actor, and, you know, you're always looking at your biography and your resume, and I just thought it was cool to see, you know, on my resume, I thought it was cool to see Stephen Baldwin, Thief on the Cross. I thought that was kind of cool, you know.
That's very cool.
You're going to get away with something like that, you know what I mean? So we did it, and now tonight we got an amazing opportunity, very special. We're going to screen the movie, do a Q&A, and say hi to folks over at Mac Hammond's church, and we're excited to be here.
That's awesome. Yep. Now, Mike,
Bill, I'll tell you too. When I watched Stephen do that, I had never seen anything like it. Where I'm looking up at the words, and Stephen, it was the best acting I've ever seen. And Stephen said, "Well," and I'm looking, I'm in the front row, and I'm seeing these tears on his face, and I'm looking, like, wow, that's incredible. And I got in the green room, and I go, Stephen, I've never seen acting like that. Those looked like real tears. And he looked at me and goes, brother, those were real tears. So Stephen really, I mean, he got into the whole, you know, feel of it, and the Holy Ghost worked through him. It was amazing.
That is. Now, Mike, I've interviewed you a couple times, and you've been on my show on the weekends called Real Recovery, and I'm just fascinated because your heart beats for this. This is what you want to do. You want to make a difference for the kingdom through some of the success that you've enjoyed with MyPillow, which I slept on last night, by the way. Thank you very much. But this is what motivates you, doesn't it?
Yeah, and after the film too, I'm going to tell a little bit of my testimony. I've got a lot of my workers even coming. A lot of MyPillow employees, and I'm looking forward to telling a little of my testimonial. I just came from the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington D.C. and we were talking about the platform that I have for recovering addicts and hope. And I just want to, you know, get the hope out there. And it's never too late to come to Jesus. The thief on the cross. And I think my little story will go good afterwards too. After telling, you know, I was pretty incorrigible for a lot of years, and I would always tell people I could be in the crack house or whatever, and I'd be talking about, you know, God, and the next day they would quit everything, and I'm going, And here I look back on it now. It was basically me trying to tell me that Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, let me take a short break. When I come back, I want to continue our conversation. I'm talking to actor Stephen Baldwin and MyPillow inventor Mike Lindell. We're talking about Thief on the Cross, which stars Stephen Baldwin. It's at Living Word Christian Center tonight in Brooklyn Park. We'll take a short break and be back.
Sleep at all last night. Just thinking of you.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Bill Arnold here with you. Actor Stephen Baldwin is in town to premiere his new film, produced by MyPillow inventor Mike Lindell. Both are on my studio line this morning. It's going to be at Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn Park tonight. And you can go there. It's open to the public, free. And you can also have a little meet and greet before. And there's going to be a little testimony after as well. So it's going to be a really great night. I'm curious, Stephen, I'm trying to get you to maybe, and Mike, relate to the thief on the cross personally, because I think what we need today is more stories of true redemption.
Well, you know, can I go first, Mike?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. I'll give you permission.
Well, there you go. Yes. Mr. Arnold, there you go. I'll put it to you this way. You know, I think the original motivation for this idea, and I think there's not a lot of people that know the story of the thief on the cross. He was during the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're two bad guys, two criminals. And the short story is one of the guys kind of didn't care who Jesus was, and the thief on the cross, you know, he kind of thought about it a little bit and kind of said to himself, well, you know, this guy really didn't do anything wrong, but we're bad guys, so maybe we're going to get what we deserve. And because of that, there's those famous words that the thief on the cross says, where he says to the Lord Jesus, he says, well, wherever you're going, Lord, kind of off the cuff, he kind of says, you know, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And because of that little measure of faith, the Lord Jesus confirmed, you know, you will be with me forever in eternity. And the thief on the cross, now listen to these qualifications, who was not a believer at the time, had never lived the Christian life, and was totally unprepared probably in that moment for salvation, even though all those things were against him, it just turns out that really by faith, and if you hang on to the hope of Jesus Christ, and you reach out to Jesus Christ, you know, none of us are qualified. We're all sinners. We're all going to fail. All of us will never, you know, be able to do on our own all the right things you need to do to be, you know, perfect and, you know, great and this and you look great and everything's perfect. So there's this wonderful phraseology that Colin Smith used when he wrote the book that I loved. And what he said was, the story of the thief on the cross is about how the thief on the cross, he woke up that morning and he had breakfast with the devil, but he had supper with the Savior. The message there is, you see the message, Pat, that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
None of us are ever good enough. Mm-hmm. But with Jesus and the help of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus working with us, all things are possible.
Stephen, think of the powerful message Jesus gave to that thief when he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's just so powerful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. All right, Mike, what about, another story of redemption relating to the thief personally?
Well, it's like I said before, I lived it for years. I mean, even when I was with, when I put all my addictions overnight, January 16, 2009, I believed in God, prayed, you know, would pray when things would go bad and pray for miracles, pray for this and that. Well, it wasn't until almost a year ago today, where I went to this thing called Operation Restore Warrior. Now, and I was born again. I found out I wasn't walking with Jesus, and I wasn't that redemption to me is like I was like, okay, even those thieves on those, and you know, those two guys on the crosses, the one guy, you know, I think one guy said something like, if you are who you say you are, why aren't you, you know, why can't you get us down? Or I mean, why can't you save yourself? Or I can't remember, something like that. But I'm going, I always wanted more proof, or more proof, more proof. So I guess, you know, my own story is very powerful with all of a sudden you can believe in God and want this, but not to have that relationship with Jesus, which I know is so important.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Oh, go ahead, Stephen.
I got to segue just for a second, which is, I know Mr. Lindell pretty good by now. He's got a book coming out. You should mention the book, Mike, because it tells a lot of the stories you're talking about. And let me tell you something, Pat. If Stephen Baldwin and Mike Lindell and the thief on the cross can get into heaven, well, then anybody can get into heaven. Please continue, buddy.
Well, we need stories of redemption. We also need Christians in the marketplace producing quality creative work. Speak to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, you know, like your great program, Pat, you know, thank goodness we do have people waking up every morning inspired by the Holy Spirit to want to make a difference, you know, and not just be out there and getting caught up in the world every day, too busy, you know, and not having enough time to care enough. As you hear Mike Lindell talking about, a big part of his backstory is sobriety. I've been sober a long time myself, and I relate to that. And you know, when we see in the losing battle we see in America, you know, six people every hour are dying from addiction in America. Six people every hour are dying in America from addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and sex trafficking, boy, that devil's doing a pretty good job, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like you said, all of us have a different calling. And I want to make one observation. You know, I used to work with a big ministry many years ago, and I used to be involved in skateboard ministry. And I thought I was this cool guy, like, you know, like there's these blue-haired people doing this stuff over here, and they're not really making a difference for Jesus. And I'm over here doing skateboard ministry, and, you know, I'm making a big difference. And then one day, Pat, I was walking through a room of a bunch of old ladies that were licking the stamps, putting those stamps on the envelope, and they were sending out newsletters about Jesus for this really big ministry. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, brother. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, buddy, you're no better than them ladies licking the stamps. I'm the one this is all about, and never forget that. You know, so I just love in the body and the vine and the branches of Jesus Christ that connect us all, I'm just grateful that whoever you are, whatever your calling is, get out there and represent. That's the most important thing.
Amen. So tonight at Living Word right. Christian Center in Brooklyn Park, what time does this start?
It starts at the doors open at 6 and starts at 7, but they're expecting a lot of people. They're only letting in, I believe, the first 3,000 people. You know, I wanted to say something, too, when you talk about content, just real quick. I've got my foundation that's coming out. You can actually go to lindellfoundation.org, but it's a pass-through entity where it's going to help. Imagine 100% of your money going to the person in need, and you get to hear back the difference you made in their life. It takes all it puts transparency and trust back in foundations. And then also when you talk about content, we're working on a new app where you take the addict. A lot of times, well, they can. A 22-year-old opiate addict might not be able to relate to a 60-year-old alcoholic. And we're working on an app where you'll be able to, let's say you are this 22-year-old opiate, you put it, or addict, and you'll put in your addiction, what your drug of choice is, how old you are, and it's going to put up all these success stories of hope, all these mentors that have got on there that have been sober or straight for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and there's going to be like a 250,000 of them up there where this content is going to be incredible. And then later on, you'll be able to, when we get that part done, you'll be able to connect and actually get a mentor your age, and it's kind of like Match.com, only you're connecting addicts to mentors, and it's really going to change the country.
That's awesome. Mike Lindell, Stephen Baldwin, good luck tonight. Thank you. God bless you, and have a great day.
God bless.
Yep. Thank you so much. You bet. It's 28 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and have a little break point. Just a minute. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Pat Arnold here with you. It was really nice to talk to Stephen Baldwin. He and I are regular pals. And my pillow inventor, Mike Lindell, about their Thief on the Cross movie tonight, airing at Living Word Christian Center. It sounds like if you want to get there, you better get there early, because they're going to shut the doors after the first 3,000 people show up. It's going to be a great night. We'll take a short break for news and be back in a minute.
If you eavesdropped on a typical household, one with a few teens, a mom and a dad, what noises would you hear? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. The more I meet struggling teens and their panicked parents, the more I find that the four walls of their home encompass arguments, a lot of arguments. Some are loud and include shouting. Some are hushed but filled with anger. Sound familiar? Though I'd never want any families to avoid conflict, in fact, I think it's an important part of growth, I'd want them to cut down on needless verbal battery. Is there an argument that can be turned into a discussion? Do you need to stop yelling and start listening? It takes two to have an argument. Don't be one of them.
Mark Gregston is the author of a brand new book for grandparents titled Leaving a Legacy of Hope. To learn more, go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Stone's most favorite songs is I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And on our studio line this morning is Amy Simpson. She's a life and leadership coach, speaker, and author of Blessed Are the Unsatisfied, Finding Spiritual Freedom in an Imperfect World. You can find her at amysimpson.com. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Fascinating article that you wrote in Christianity Today. And let me just read this line. Consumerism not only feeds on our natural appetites, but also warps and inflates them for the sake of profit. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, our whole society in some ways is based on that platform.
Yeah, it's like I get mad at Apple sometimes. They make their products so appealing.
Yeah, exactly. How dare they?
How dare they? It makes me want them.
Yep.
But as we're talking as Christians, and we are looking for satisfaction, we can't take the satisfaction that we strive for in this life and have any connection to the satisfaction we get from living in Christ.
Yeah, exactly. It's tempting many times for us to think, you know, the consumeristic desire, the consumeristic approach that we all have to some degree to the world, we just turn that toward Christ, and then he will fulfill our consumeristic desires, and yet that's not what Christ is here for.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that more than ever today we are targets of advertisers because of all the different platforms that we are now on, social media, iPads, phones? Literally, we've got shopping devices in our hands 24 hours a day. And there's more ways to feel dissatisfied if we don't have what we want.
Yeah, it really is relentless we are surrounded by marketing messages, and they're targeted at us 24 hours a day if we will tune into them. And you're right, there are many different platforms through which marketing messages can reach us. And we don't always think about that. I think most of the time we're not really thinking about the effect that has on us. But all of those messages are designed to give us a sense of dissatisfaction and a sense that there is something we're missing that we need that will make our lives complete.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, that really takes its toll on our mindset.
Mm-hmm. When you think of shopping, I always think of it kind of being a quick fix. It gives me a little bit of a buzz, you know, especially when you shop online and you hit the go button and all of a sudden, hey, this is on its way in 2 days. But then you look at some of the things that we deal with, repentance and redemption and some of those things that really bring about a good life. They're not a quick fix, are they?
Not at all. In fact, the process of, you know, becoming more like Christ, of experiencing some of the rewards of being in relationship with Him really take a lifetime and require, you know, patience on our part, not only patience with that process, but also patience with ourselves, which is a completely different rhythm and way of living than we're used to in our, like you said, our kind of that quick fix instant age. That
mm-hmm. You, in your article in Christianity Today, you draw on the famed Pascal quote about the God-shaped hole in our heart, and you say maybe we should think differently about that.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, you know, the interesting thing about that quote is that it's not a Pascal quote at all,
really?
But that it's really a very kind of paltry paraphrase of what he actually said.
I've been wrong all this
which
time.
Was a much deeper, and more thoughtful observation. But the second thing really is, that idea that we have this God-shaped hole and that if we're in relationship with God, then that hole is automatically filled and then we no longer have that need present in our lives. It's just not realistic. It's not really the way we live, and it's not what God has promised to us. In fact, you know, in some ways, the more deeply we are in relationship with Christ and the longer we are in that relationship, the less satisfied we become with the lives we live here and now.
Mm-hmm. Amy, you were in your article talk about Peter and the writer of the Hebrews both encouraging that readers not be satisfied, but to try to grow in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, just take it a step further and crave more than milk. Asking readers, asking people to not be satisfied. Comment on that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we so often have this idea that we are supposed to be satisfied with what we have. And we should be, you know, content with that. And then, you know, as soon as we've received salvation or we've received kind of a basic knowledge of Scripture or, you know, attained a basic level, then we turn our attention to maybe serving other people or helping them grow. And we sort of stop giving attention to our own spiritual desires and needs. And yet, when we look at a passage like this in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, it's really calling us to want more, to actually crave more. And he talks about, you know, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk and then actually wants us to crave even more than milk and crave the meat of God's word, the next level of what we can experience and learn from
mm-hmm.
through him.
Amy, what has God actually promised about our satisfaction?
You know, the way I look at it is, you know, God has not, really has never promised to satisfy all of our needs, to make us spiritually complete in this life, but he has promised us that we will experience that someday, and that in the meantime, in this life we're in right now, that we have access to a better, what I call a better water source.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If you look at John 4, when Jesus has his encounter with the woman at the well and they talk about water, and he, you know, uses the metaphor of the water at the well as a metaphor for spiritual need and spiritual satisfaction, you know, a lot of people point to that and say, well, Jesus said, you know, we won't be thirsty anymore. But actually, when you look more closely at it, what Jesus says is that if you enter into relationship with him and you accept him, you have access to a better water source. You have access to a fountain, so that you don't need to keep going back and drinking cups of water, but that fountain is present. That doesn't mean that there, our need is gone. Our need is there, but we have access to the water source that will help meet our need. And then someday, of course, that need will be fully satisfied in the next life.
I like that image a whole lot. I like it a lot. All right, Amy, let me take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Amy Simpson. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I'm having a nice conversation with Amy Simpson. She's a life and leadership coach. She's a speaker. She's an author of Blessed Are the Unsatisfied, Finding Spiritual Freedom in an Imperfect World. Amy, your book, Blessed Are the Unsatisfied, what blessing are you calling us to see in, and what would be wanting us, leave us wanting more?
Yeah, the book actually mentions several blessings that come along with living an unsatisfied life, and by that, you know, in the book I draw a distinction between being unsatisfied and being dissatisfied. So what I'm advocating is being unsatisfied, you know, not being discontent with our life, but being recognizing I'm not satisfied by this, and I'm going to live in that place of unsatisfaction, accepting that. And that opens us up to a lot of possibilities, a lot of blessings from God, one of which is anticipation. You know, when we live a life that is built around trying to satisfy us here and now, even spiritually, you know, we become very focused on trying to fill that need. And when we sort of let go of that and allow ourselves to be unsatisfied for now, we can focus then on what's to come and anticipate what God actually has for us and that he offers us in the next life. So that's the kind of blessing I'm talking about in this book, and that's just one element of the kinds of blessings that come our way when we accept and embrace that we are unsatisfied people, and that's how God wants us to be for now.
You know, I love that, because when I think of a passage of Scripture I might be studying, reading, memorizing, I don't know if I ever even reach a point of, like, I am so satisfied, like I've learned everything there is to know, even about this passage. I still feel like I can hunger and thirst for more of something that I've studied for maybe a while. It's crazy how my spirit is always thirsting for more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been a Christian nearly my whole life. I grew up in a Christian family. My dad was a pastor, and I first made a decision for Christ when I was 4 years old. So before I was even in school, you know, I was committing my life to Christ, and then as I grew, of course, I learned better what that meant and continued to make that choice. But so it's been a long time that I've been, you know, in God's Word and studying and learning, and even a passage that maybe I first learned or memorized as a small child, like Psalm 23. You know, at this point mm-hmm. in my life, I can go back to that passage and learn something completely new about it, or experience it in a completely different way than I did before. Learning that or memorizing it or experiencing it once, you know, we would miss out on so much if we only did that. You know, if we only mastered, you know, considered ourselves to have mastered a spiritual concept or an element of our experience with God and checked it off the list and said, okay, I've got enough now. You know, how much would we miss out on?
Oh, true. Obviously, our goal is to know Christ and make him known and, you know, constantly be speaking truth into our lives of the hope we have in him. And to me, that's something that every day when I get up, I want more of him. And if I compare that to the consumerism that's around me, it all seems like meaningless background noise.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's distraction, you know, often from recognizing our true needs, and not only recognizing them, but offering them to God and inviting him to transform them. You know, God doesn't want to just meet, you know, our consumeristic needs or our selfish desires. He wants to transform them and to meet the needs that are behind them.
Mm-hmm. What about just personal satisfaction, you know, as a Christian and as a person that God has given talents and gifts to, and you want to make the most of them? when do you reach a point where you're putting that in a healthy perspective? Because it's a temptation to want to be the very best, number one, we're the winners, and that is not only Christian but secular, and we're all competing for the title of the best, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And in some ways, you know, we're competing for the title of the most fulfilled or the most satisfied. And, you know, if you look at social media, you can see how we're doing that. You know, my life, we present a very idealistic picture of our lives on social media and, you know, often just cause more envy and competition even in that realm of how great our lives are. But, you know, being unsatisfied and recognizing, you know, I'm not a satisfied person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to be while I'm in this life,
mm-hmm.
it really doesn't mean that we have to live unfulfilled lives. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to just give up on living a life that is a good fit for us or that makes good use of our gifts or, you know, where we experience some level of satisfaction. That's all possible. I think the key is recognizing the limitations of that, you know, recognizing that if I have a fulfilling job that's a great fit for my gifts and talents and I have a family that I love and, you know, I enjoy elements of my life, that's all good, but that's not a substitute for that ultimate satisfaction that
mm-hmm.
we're all looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So we can remain unsatisfied in the ultimate sense and yet experience fulfillment and enjoy our lives now, keeping all of that in its proper place, you know, not asking those things to do too much to complete our lives or to, you know, to take away all of our longings.
Mm-hmm. Amy, we just have about a minute left, and you wrote something that just I loved. It said, while we may want God to make our lives as fulfilling as we can envision, God envisions something far greater.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think it's really important for us to keep that in mind because we can get so lost in our perspective here and now and think, you know, if I only had this or, you know, if God would only make me
mm-hmm.
feel complete here and now. And it's easy for us to believe that that's really what we want. That's really what we need. That's the best it can get. And yet if we were to have that, you know, how much less we would have than what God actually wants for us ultimately, which is more than we can even understand here
mm-hmm.
and now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do know that it means life in his presence. We do know that it means a life where we have more complete understanding than we do now and
mm-hmm.
where we're able to enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. And we won't experience those things here and now. So we know there's more, and there's no reason for us to settle for what we have,
mm-hmm.
have and can envision now.
Amy, it's an interesting subject, and you've done a very nice job of sorting it out for us. I appreciate that very much. Amy Simpson's been my guest. You can go to amysimpson.com, learn more about her. And Amy, have a great day, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Feel free to stop by on your way to work. The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. If the front door's locked, use the secret knock.
A special thanks to Amy Simpson. AmySimpson.com. You can go check out her writing. And also to Stephen Baldwin and Mike Lindell. They're going to be at Living Word Christian Center tonight in Brooklyn Park for the premiere of Thief on the Cross. I don't know if you heard Stephen's dramatic reading of Colin Smith's book, and it was powerful. And he's now adapted it into a one-man play. It's a performance that they have now filmed, so it's available to be seen online, or I don't know if it'll be in the movies or not, in the movie theaters. But interesting, the federal government shut down overnight. Doesn't it always shut down overnight? I love the sign that says these doors to remain open during business hours. What genius came up with that idea? Gee, Wilbur, business is sure slow. I don't know. Maybe we should unlock the doors. Anyway, that wraps up the show and the week. We've got a great week coming up next week. But before that, we've got a glorious weekend. I hope you get lots of rest, restoration, and I will see you Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.